And I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, today to Luke chapter 16. That's the Gospel of Luke and chapter number 16. The Boston Celtics traded up for the number 2 overall spot in the 1986 NBA draft in order to select small forward Len Bias from the University of Maryland. A first-team All-American basketball player, professional talent scout, Edgar Badger compared Bias's explosiveness and ability to take over a basketball game to that of NBA legend Michael Jordan. Before ever even stepping foot onto an NBA basketball court, Bias inked a deal with sports equipment company Reebok worth over $3 million. He was drafted on the 17th of June, and less than 48 hours later, had slipped into eternity due to a cocaine-induced heart attack, making him arguably the greatest that never was. While many people will focus on the tragic details of Len Bias' death today, few ever actually stop and ask themselves the question, where is Len Bias today? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The simple fact of the matter is, there are more dead people than living, and one day you too will add to that number. Christ pulls back the veil of eternity for us in Luke 16 to reveal to us two destinies, a place of torment and a place of comfort. Will you spend your eternity in a place of torment or a place of comfort? First, we discover the place of torment. Verses 19 through 23. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The first man spoken of in this passage is headed towards a place of torment. He had been rich, and those who knew him in this life knew that he had lived it to his fullest. There would have been many that would have envied him. Yet, when he dies, we see him crying out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The word torment here gives us the idea of being in intense anguish or pain. The verb is used in the passive. Literally, this man was at that time being tormented. The torment that this man experienced was completely out of his control, and it continued constantly. I have trypanophobia. I have a very bad case of trypanophobia. At times, my trypanophobia has caused me to become completely incapacitated. I have never actually placed myself in a situation in which my trypanophobia has been induced. Others, however, have brought me to this place in my life against my will and to my shame. You see, I suffer from an extreme fear of medical procedures involving needles. For me, a shot is torment. My torments pale, however, in comparison to the torments being suffered by the man that Christ introduces to us in Luke 16. This man found himself in a horrible place. Verse 23, it is a place of unendurable loneliness. We see him pictured afar off from Abraham. Verse 24, it is a place of unbearable thirst. He simply wanted a drop of water on his tongue to cool it. Verse 24 again. It is a place of unquenchable fire. He was tormented in the flame. Matthew 18 and verse 9. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into life having one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Jesus speaks of a place of literal fire. Over and again, he warns us of the fires of hell. The Bible tells us that one day, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. The Cleveland Care Clinic tells us that burn pain is one of the most intense physical pains that a human can experience. It has the ability to drive away reason and the experience of enjoyment. Jesus Christ, who alone is truth, tells us in this passage of a place called hell. It is a lonely, thirsty, fire-filled place. Are you headed there? As I look further in the text, however, I discover that not only is this place a horrible one, I see also it is a permanent one. A permanent place. Between the place of comfort and the place of torment, there is a great gulf fixed. A great chasm is set up in eternity, and in verse 26, Christ tells us that no one can pass from the place of comfort to the place of torment, and no one can pass from the place of torment to the place of comfort. Matthew 25:46 tells us, and these, speaking of the people that Jesus will one day judge, shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. On April 26, 2003, an 800-pound rock trapped hiker Aaron Ralston for 5 days in Wayne County, Utah. While descending what's called a slot canyon, the suspended boulder from which he had just been climbing became dislodged, crushing his right hand and forearm and pinning him against the canyon wall in the process. Over the next 127 hours, Ralston was forced to slowly ration out the small amount of water he had remaining and try to free himself from the rock. His efforts, however, were useless. And after running out of water on the 5th day, Ralston carved his name, date of birth, and what he believed would be date of death into the canyon wall, videotaping his last goodbyes to his family. He did not expect to survive the night. On Thursday, May 1st, however, after waking to live yet another day, Aaron Ralston decided to do the unthinkable. He took out a dull 2-inch multi-tool pocket knife and amputated his own arm. The procedure took about 1 hour, and Ralston was able to walk away and live to tell the story. Aaron Ralston understood that if he did not free himself from the boulder that entrapped him, his fate would be sealed. He made the decision of severing an arm, and in the process was able to escape what otherwise would have been certain death. There are no such options in hell. There is no one occupying hell today that has any sort of tool that is able to remove them from the permanency of the place that they now inhabit. You need to decide what you are going to do before it is too late. This place is horrible. This place is permanent. However, it is also avoidable. In verse 22, we see Abraham and Lazarus pictured in a place of comfort. Christ shows both places for us in this passage because he wants you to be able to avoid the place of torment. 1 John 4:14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 2 Peter 3:9, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel is good news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven to earth and lived a perfect, holy, sinless life in order that he might be able to provide a perfect, holy, sinless sacrifice for your sins, for my sins, and for the sins of the entire world. He died on the cross of Calvary in our place, taking the wrath of Almighty God upon him and proving himself to be God by raising from the dead the 3rd day. You do not need to spend your life in a place of torment. You can call on Jesus Christ and receive free salvation offered through him today. This place is horrible. This place is permanent. However, it is also avoidable. you must be prepared for your eternity. For you will either spend it in a place of comfort or in a place of torment. Let's look together at how Christ pictures the place of comfort. I find it in verse 25 of our text where it says, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Let's consider quickly the provision of this comfort. I see first, he was comforted by the angels. I find this in verse 22 where it says to us, "And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." 34 of the 66 books in our Bible speak of angels. There are over 340 references to angels in the Bible. Hebrews 12:22 tells us that the angels are an innumerable host. In Hebrews 1:14, the Bible says that they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. God sent the angels to come alongside and comfort Lazarus. Put yourself in Lazarus' shoes. Imagine, one instant, you're dying, alone and in pain, and in the next instant, you find yourself being waited on by an angel. Lazarus went from a place of poverty to a place of pleasure. Psalm 16:11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ may hold true to his promise, we will be with him in paradise. I see also, he is comforted by Abraham. I find this in verse 22 as well, where it says, "And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation. Lazarus, being a Jew and knowing Jewish history like he would have, having Father Abraham come alongside and comfort him would have been like having his grandfather with him. On earth, Lazarus was homeless and friendless. After death, he is seen enjoying comfort and fellowship with a far greater Abraham. President and Mrs. Abraham Lincoln were known to frequently visit wounded soldiers at and around our nation's capital, during the Civil War. In addition to inquiring about their health, Lincoln often entertained the soldiers with his stories. He had just left one such facility when a visitor to the same hospital approached the bedside of one of the patients. The soldier seemed in such good spirits that the visitor was curious, and as he went up to the soldier, he asked the man, "You must be very slightly wounded." "Yes," replied the soldier, "very slightly. I have only lost one leg, and I'd be glad to lose another if I could hear some more of old Abe's stories." On earth, Lazarus is homeless and friendless. After death, he is seen enjoying comfort and fellowship with a far greater Abraham than even President Lincoln himself. Imagine the stories with which Father Abraham would have entertained Lazarus. The Bible tells us that heaven is a place where God provides comfort for his children. As I look forward in the text, I see finally the permanency of this comfort. A great gulf is fixed in verse 26. In John 14 and verse 3, the Lord tells his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you." What a wonderful place this must be. After all, it took God only 6 days to create the very good world in which we live. How much more wonderful, then, must this place called heaven be, which has been 2,000 years in the making? It is a place where we are told we will enjoy the everlasting life we find spoken of in John 3:16. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I hear them, and I give to them eternal life, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand." On June 17th, 1986, Len Bias passed from this life to the next. He went either to a place of comfort or to a place of torment. One day, you will too. After all, Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8 tells us that there is no man that hath power over his spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Where will you spend your eternity? Romans 10:13 says, that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, you will either spend your eternity in a place of comfort or a place of torment. Call on Him today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that if there is anybody in this room today that does not know you as their personal Savior, that they would make that decision so that they would not have to spend their eternity in a place of torment, and that they can enjoy the comfort of heaven for all of eternity. In your name I pray. Amen.